Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, all the best for 2022. How are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov, welcome back. Nice to hear from you. I hope that the new year will be a good one for you. And if you think that there are no piranhas in the Middle East, you're wrong, because these piranhas walk around on two legs in the street.
I thought they were sharks.
They can shred you in a moment.
Right, that is true. That is absolutely true.
And in case you've missed a bit of excitement from Israel, there will be a court case held in Tel Aviv today where former Prime Minister Netanyahu is suing former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert for libel. And this case involving not only former Prime Minister Netanyahu, but his wife Sarah and his son Yair as well, involves a demand for 837,000 shekels compensation after Ehud Olmert called them mentally ill, not once, but a few times.
Wow.
And this is a case that goes back to April of last year, when Ehud Olmert claimed that then Prime Minister Netanyahu, as he was then in office, and his members of his family are in need of psychiatric treatment. That was what he told a news channel in April of last year. And in turn, former Prime Minister Netanyahu, Sarah and Yair have sued Olmert for libel, saying that he has engaged in obsessive efforts to harm their good name in public, jealousy, and deep frustration. Now, in defense, Ehud Olmert has said he would like to call upon, a psychiatrist of his choosing to examine them in order to try to justify the fact that he has called them mentally ill. And yesterday there was a little bit of action in the courts because the Netanyahu family requested that today's 9 a.m. hearing, which is due to start in just over an hour, be delayed to 10 a.m. because of delays that will be associated with security arrangements. The judge was very firm, saying the date and time was set in October of last year, and now you're coming the day before to ask for a time delay. It's not going to happen. And he wrote that the way to avoid any delays associated with your security arrangements is to get up earlier in the morning. So that is that's in the words of Judge Amit Yariviv, who made that ruling yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see what goes down in
especially
the court today.
Because I guess that if truth is a defense in a case of libel, this could get just a little bit ugly.
It's already ugly. Two former prime ministers, neither of whom are strangers to the court situation, one of whom already has served a term in jail, another one who is going through a whole series of court cases which could potentially lead to a term in jail for him. So, ugly in every possible respect of the word.
Right. And speaking about ugly, let's just talk about what is going on with the latest wave of COVID.
Wow. Really, really crazy situation here at the moment with regard to COVID. I know that you've missed this during your holiday, Howard, so I thought I would
I missed you. I missed our listeners. I did not miss COVID.
Wow. What's happening here is pretty crazy. After there were quite concerted efforts to at least delay the onset of the Omicron wave in Israel and potentially even to try and keep it away from Israel entirely, that all has failed, or at least the attempt to keep it away failed, because we are reaching new records every day now in terms of the number of people who are being diagnosed. In January alone, 114, nearly 115,000 Israelis have tested positive for coronavirus. Just to put that into perspective, December we had 42,700 people diagnosed, 14,900 in November, 44,000, almost 45,000 in October, now already in January, and we are only on the 10th of January, already 114,000 people. The number of serious cases hospitalized has more than doubled from 85 or 87 a week ago to now over 200. Some of those are being ventilated. Corona wards are being opened up in all of our major hospitals in order to cope with this. So there was a hope that even though many, many people have would be exposed to catching the Omicron variant, and that's certainly been the case. There was the hope that the illnesses, the way that it presented itself, would not be too serious. I think on the whole, we found that if one looks at the relative numbers of people who have been diagnosed, that has borne itself out, even though the number of serious cases has increased, but it's certainly not proportionate to the number of people who are being diagnosed. The main challenge that Israel is facing right now is the number of people in isolation. And, you know, once upon a time back 2 years ago, we said, right, if you've even heard of somebody who might have had corona, you've got to go into isolation. Now we're down, excuse the exaggeration, but now we're really slimming it down as much as possible to the point that if you have come into direct contact with somebody with corona and you are vaccinated, you are simply obliged to go and get a test. If you test negative, you're free to do as you please. No limit on you, no requirement for you to go to isolation at all. And now there is even talk of allowing people who have been diagnosed with corona not to have to isolate, which I think is becoming a little ridiculous. But we can understand why that's the case, because our medical system is really suffering, not so much from the extent to which the illness presents itself and having to treat people, but because of the number of medical staff who are not available to treat patients because they are in isolation. That is the main challenge that's happening right now. And there was a suggestion that medical staff who have been tested positive but who are not showing symptoms and who are feeling well should be allowed to continue their daily activities. I don't know that that can really pass the smell test at all, and I'm not sure that we'll be able to get to that situation. So the current strategy is keep everything open. Just, you know, we've given up on trying to control things. There's no ways that we're going to control the spread of this virus. There are estimates that we will have 2 to 3 to even potentially 4 million people infected with the Omicron variant over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks. The numbers that are being diagnosed at the moment really bear that out. It could quite easily come to fruition. But we're keeping schools open, we're keeping businesses open, restaurants and places of entertainment, everything remains open. Anybody who's been diagnosed who has had a positive test, stay home for 10 days. Anybody who has come into contact with the virus, go and get tested. If your test is negative and if you have been vaccinated, continue your life as usual, but obviously keep a monitor on things. So, you know, lots and lots of pressure points. And the number of people being tested has risen so dramatically that the authorities can't keep up with it. They've now suggested people just use home antigen tests instead of PCR tests, because the PCR testing system just simply cannot keep up with the number of people demanding tests. So lots and lots of home antigen tests. All school pupils will be issued free of charge with 3 tests to keep at home to use as and when required. And there are antigen tests that are also being conducted by various authorities. You can pay labs around Israel to do the test for you as well. But really, the testing system is struggling, to say the least. So people are being encouraged to test more at home if you can actually get your hands on a test kit. Apparently, there will be more arriving very, very soon. They will be sold in supermarkets, we're being told, in order to try to bring the price down and to increase the supply. But at the moment, Israel really struggling with how to deal with this. And who would have thought that 2 years later, we would still be having this discussion about how we cope with the situation in order to keep the economy going and in order to keep the country's health intact at the same time. It's just absolutely nuts.
Is there criticism of Israel internally for how it's handled this wave, the Omicron wave, considering that they held on so tight, they shut the country down, people around the world were greatly impacted, and now it's sort of flipped to the other extreme completely?
I should add, before answering your question, that borders are all completely open. Completely. All restrictions have now been lifted. Anybody wants to travel here, you're welcome to come. Bring your vaccination certificate and welcome. That's just the way it works. So for those people who had felt that was not a good idea, the borders are now open and travel is free for all countries. No restrictions at all. Is there criticism? Of course. When you have 2 Jews, you have 3 opinions. Absolutely. We already know that. And people are looking for reasons to criticize the government. Under these circumstances, you don't have to look very far. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has been quite open in acknowledging the weaknesses, in acknowledging that people are feeling insecure about the flick-flacks in government policy. You know, a week ago we were doing one thing, now we're doing something completely opposite. His appeal to people for patience, there is public dismay over the unclear rules, over the shifting of the rules, clearly a lot of criticism. And, you know, I just wondered to myself how, to what extent some of this criticism is justified. I mean, it's very, very easy to shoot holes in a policy that's being implemented, very, very easy indeed, especially under the current circumstances.
Absolutely.
I think it's very difficult to come up with
the perfect policy, yeah, because nobody knows. I think everybody, the one thing we do know for the last 2 years is that we were making this up, and governments are just working with information that they have at any given time. So to look back on information that you didn't have but have today is quite dangerous to some extent.
It's just a very crazy situation. Mm-hmm. And another little statistic, which I don't think we're too proud of, or maybe I'm not sure if we're proud of this or not, but Israel has become the first country with a population of less than 10 million to exceed 1.5 million diagnosed carriers of corona. Now, that in itself sounds terrible, but I think what we really need to do is look at how many people have actually succumbed to corona over that time, how many people have died. And I think where that is concerned, we're in slightly better shape. But still, you know, clearly this is having a major impact on absolutely everything that we do. Children and teachers wanting to write Bagrut exams this week who are unable to do so because they're sat at home in isolation having been tested positive. People wanting to go to work, people, medical staff wanting to get to work, people wanting to be treated. So many people sitting at home at the moment. Just incapacitated because they've tested positive, even though many of them are suffering just minor symptoms. And of course, when you add to that the impact of the flu this year, which has been very, very serious, and it has even given rise to this new term, flurona, of people who've got both flu and corona and suffering from both of them. And in some cases, the symptoms of the flu are much more severe than the symptoms of corona. It's really a pretty long and difficult winter at the moment getting through this variant and this phase.
Absolutely. An Israeli national has been killed in violence in Kazakhstan. Tell us about this.
So we've heard about the unrest in Kazakhstan the civil unrest and the fact that the Russian troops have actually been called in by the Kazakh government in order to try to control this uprising that's been going on in Kazakhstan. Quite a significant Jewish community from Kazakhstan, many of whom have close relations with Israel. A young Israeli who actually was living in Kazakhstan, coming from a Kazakh family, has been killed in Almaty. Levayan Kogashvili, who was actually born in Israel after his family made Aliyah from Kazakhstan, then decided to return to Kazakhstan and was married with a child in Almaty, was on his way to work. There were reports that he was not involved in any of the violence at all, that he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when there was gunfire. The troops in Kazakhstan have been instructed by the government to shoot to kill people who don't abide by the new laws that have been put in place in order to try to bring control to the uprising. The Israeli Foreign Ministry has said that they have no plans at the moment to evacuate Israelis who are in Kazakhstan, although they have warned people not to travel there and to avoid as much as possible any trips to Kazakhstan. But they're not planning to evacuate people. They think that things will calm down. They are also concerned, interestingly, about maintaining cordial relations with the Kazakh government, with whom Israel has quite good relations. So, unfortunate situation. We understand that that young Israeli will be brought to Israel for burial in due course. But obviously, our condolences to his family. And be careful if you're going to Kazakhstan.
Absolutely, or rather don't. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you, as always.